Several years ago, we had an evangelist come to our church. And he spoke a word to me, and he said very simply three things. He said, change, change, change. That's what he said. Three times to me. And he said, there's going to be three changes coming in your life. And he was absolutely correct. Three changes did come in my life, things I did not expect. But God knew what he wanted to do. So I'm here to tell you that there's three changes in a person's life that's necessary as far as God is concerned. The first one is salvation, which we call coming to Christ, receiving what God has done on the cross of Calvary. The second is conforming us to the image of his Son. And the third is receiving us into heaven to be with him forever. Now, there's more changes, but those are three major ones that I want to talk about, at least the first two today. Now, you'll never understand what God's going to do until you understand three things: spirit, soul, and body. Those three things. If you understand those three things, you'll understand the three changes that are going to take place. Very simply, what happens when we get saved, our spirit is changed. We are changed forever, in my opinion. And that change is going to be throughout eternity. And then in this life, after we become a Christian, God wants to change our soul. He wants to conform our soul into the image of Christ. The soul is the part of us that is the master, I guess, the sound booth in our life, director of our life. And then the third thing, we will have a new body when we go to be with Jesus. There's going to be those three major changes should be in everyone's life that's going to heaven. Those that are not going to heaven, there'll be no change. But if you understand what God's doing in this whole process, ending in giving us a new body, then you understand there's three changes that are going to be necessary. I want you to see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. I want you to see in the Word of God where it says, it's not the only place, but it's one of the places where you will see. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And you need to underline this or put a star by it, because this is absolutely necessary in every person that's going to be with the Lord. And it says very simply this: and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means there's three changes have to take place: one in our spirit, one in our soul, and one of our in our body, as we come to and look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, I want you to turn there. We're going to be looking at several scriptures quickly here. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to give you a little lesson here on salvation. So just so you'll know what's going on here. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, and you have he made alive who were dead. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, and the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that says very simply, before you were saved, you were dead to God. There was no way you could come to God. You were lost. You were without hope. We were born that way because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And even if that wasn't true, our own sin would have caused the problem. So very simply, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Then we came to a place where we found out about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we came to the place of John 1:12, which says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. And so, if we receive Jesus Christ, he gives us the power to become children of God. God did that work. We receive it. And when we receive it, we receive the Spirit of God in our spirit. The Spirit of God actually comes into a believer to live in their spirit. Now, we all know that's pretty clear. We might look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm just giving you a little lesson here on salvation before I get into the main thing I want to talk about. But look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It explains this very clearly so that you all of us can understand it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and here's what it says. If any man be in Christ, if he is a Christian, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now that's true in our spirit. Not our soul, not our body. It's true in our spirit. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, as has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so on. Verse 21, for he has made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, he comes into our spirit, but he wants to make us the righteousness of God in him, in our soul. And eventually we'll get a new body. Now that's the beginning of this process. He has changed our spirit. Our spirit has been recreated. There is a new creation of God within the spirit of any person that receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, this is important to know. This is how God can love you when you're not perfect. He can love you because the Spirit of God lives in you. That's not an excuse for sin, but I'm going to explain this as best I know how. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, and, well, it says in 17, if there is any man in Christ, he's a new creation, old things are passed away. Now, you know by your own life, after you were saved, you still do things wrong, so you know that must mean something other than what you understand. And what it means is, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within your spirit, listen to me, is as holy, is as righteous, is as much like Christ that it will ever be for eternity. In other words, a perfect God has come to live within your spirit, recreated it so he's at home there, and in your spirit you are holy, righteous, and pure from the very day you're saved on through eternity. Now, you can call it eternal security, you can call it anything you want to, but this is why in our spirit God does not deal with us according to our sins after we're saved. Not so in our soul or our body. In the spirit, I am and you are, if you're a Christian, as holy and righteous as you'll ever be in eternity. Now, we have, in other words, the assurance of our salvation. If you go to Romans chapter 8, look at the last part of that chapter, it goes into great detail to explain that you are saved forever. But then you come to the part of the Bible where it talks about we need to get rid of our sin. We need to get rid of all these things that are hindering us from God. And when God's talking about that, he's talking about the soul. Now, our soul, throughout our lifetime, God wants to turn it into what we already are in our spirit. He wants to change our soul. At salvation, our spirit is changed. After salvation, our souls should change. And when Christ comes again, our body will change. Now, you need to understand that process that God wants to take us through. So we have everything that God is. We have in our spirit now, and God wants to bring that into our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Our mind was designed by God. Listen to me. Our mind was designed by God to control what we think, what we say, what we do, and the way we live in our body. Our body is just a house for the spirit and soul. That's all it is. When a person dies, their spirit and soul leave the body. The body, of course, is put into the ground until Jesus comes. Then it will be raised at the rapture of the church, and we'll get a new body. But what I want to concentrate on, how do we get the pure things of God out of our spirit into our soul? How do we do that? God's responsible for salvation. All we do is receive it. God has responsibility for giving us a new body. All we do is receive it. But we are responsible as Christians for the renewing of our mind, for the cleansing of our soul, for our soul being conformed into the image of Christ. That is our responsibility after we get saved. So God has responsibility in salvation. God has a responsibility in the rapture. We have a responsibility of taking care of our mind, will, and emotions, and all of those things that are in our soul. Now, the point is, what we are in our spirit must be released in this life, in our soul, if we're going to do what God wants us to do in this life. Now, we do this, listen to me carefully, by the renewing of our minds. That is a process. Why do you see some Christians that claim to be saved and act like the devil? And everybody would like to say, oh, they're not saved. Well, maybe they are. But maybe they haven't renewed their mind, which is the very next thing we are to do as a Christian. We've talked about this before. Look in Romans 12 and verse 1. And you need to put a big circle around this, because this is our responsibility. We have responsibility, God has responsibility. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means daily, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your Correct. There it is. There it is. Very clear. Everybody should understand. Be transformed, made new, recreated by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some people say, I just don't hear from God. You'll hear from God if you transform your mind. Now, it is so important. And I'm going to explain how to do this. Now, God is limited with what He can do in your life by how far along your mind has been transformed. Let me say this again. God is limited for what He can do in your life according to the degree that your mind has been renewed. Your mind can be renewed only one way: the Word of God. You should know the Bible better than any book that has ever been published. You should know the Bible better than any book in your home, because it is the manual on how to live the Christian life now so you'll be pleasing to God later. Our responsibility, that part that we're responsible for, is the renewing of our mind, which is in our soul. And here's how it works. When you renew your soul in the Word of God, your soul agrees with the Spirit. And that allows the God in your spirit to come out into your life and into your soul. When you do that, your spirit and soul will control the actions of your body. Have you got it? Let me give it to you again, because this is the issue in the Christian life. When you get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to control your thinking, control your speaking, control your actions, then your soul is with your spirit, and it's two against one, and guess what the body's going to do? Line up with the spirit and soul. But if you allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to control your mind and program your mind, then your soul's going to agree with your body, and it's going to be opposed to the God in your spirit. That's the issue. So if you do not get in the Word of God and learn the Word of God and study the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change you, then your soul's going to agree with your body, and you're going to act like any other person, lost or saved. In fact, you may act just like you did before you were saved. Nothing really changed. Oh, you might go to church occasionally, but your life really never changed. You see? The only way it can change is the Word of God. Now, the way we know that is because we found out by studying Genesis that the Word of God created the world. The Word of God created everything you see, everything you touch, everything you smell, everything you taste, everything you hear. The Word of God created it. So only the Word of God can recreate your soul, which was separated from God because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and also our own sin. That's the issue. God wants all of our spirit, soul, and body to be pleasing to Him. Now I'm going to explain how to do it. And I just want to give you the idea how it works. So, when your mind is in agreement with your spirit, then it's two to one for God. You'll live for God. But if your mind is in agreement with the flesh, it's going to be 2-1 against God. And you're going to live like anybody else in this world that's not saved. You'll be in opposition to the plan of God, even though you may be a Christian. But your mind was not removed. Your mind was not changed. Your thinking was not changed. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, if my soul is in perfect agreement with my spirit, and then by the renewing of the mind, I become what the Bible calls an overcomer. I become an overcomer. If you read back in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it keeps talking about overcomers, 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 overcomers. Who are they? They are the ones whose spirit, whose soul agrees with the spirit and are in control of their life, and they're in agreement with God. And by following the things of the Word of God to become overcomers, they prepare themselves for heaven. They'll get rewards, they'll get inheritance, and everything else. But a person whose soul was never renewed, and whose soul and body agree with the world, the flesh, and the devil, they may be a Christian, they may go to heaven, but they're going to lose rewards and lose inheritance, and they're going to have to be retrained when they get there. We've talked about this several times, but it's a fact. Now, it is so important. So the number one thing actually is, number one, you need to know that you are saved. You need to know. I know people, I see this constantly. People prayed 20 years ago to receive Christ. Their life didn't change. Nothing changed. The only thing they did was go to church a couple times. And they're running around telling everybody they're saved. Are they saved? I have no clue. Only God knows. But I'll tell you this, if I did this and my life wasn't changed, I'd receive Christ today and start over. That's what I would do. I wouldn't rely on something back 20 years ago that didn't change my life. You see. And so what do? Well, if you're a Christian, we teach the Word 3 times a week here, and we're going to be teaching it some other more times because we want people's mind to be renewed. That's why we do that. I could just have a Sunday morning service, go home, and sleep the rest of the week. But that is not why I am here. I'm here to teach the Word of God. I teach it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night we're going through the whole Bible. Sunday night I talk about various issues, and I do that so our mind would be renewed. There are churches full of people who got saved that never changed and are going to be ashamed when Jesus comes. Are you listening to me? That's what the Word of God says. Some will be ashamed at His coming. What a sad thing. You're not going to fit into heaven. How can you fit into heaven if your mind hasn't been renewed in the things of God? I didn't say you weren't going there. We've taught on that subject quite a bit, and probably will some tonight. But the issue is that we want to become overcomers. Thus, how do you know you're saved? Let me just give you 2 or 3 things real quick. You can put that up against your life and see if you're saved. Number one, are you thankful to God for the cross of Calvary? Do you think about the cross of Calvary during the week? Do you think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you don't think about those things, you may not be saved. And then, number two, you have a desire to please Him. You have a desire to please him. You love him. It's a love relationship. And then you're going to have the love for the Word of God, and you're going to have a love for his people. Those four things. And I find out what happens when people really get saved, they get in the Word of God. My dad did that in 65. Yeah, he never read the Bible. He went to church once a month just because my mother put the pressure on him. But I'm going to tell you, when he was led to the Lord, he got his Bible out, put his glasses on, and read through that thing three or four times before he died. The Word of God became important to him. And if the Word of God isn't important to you, you are probably not saved. My mother got saved. She taught Sunday school for 40 years, was lost, didn't know Christ, got saved. And I said, what's the difference? She went to church every time the door opened. She said, the difference is I fell in love with the Word of God. Are you listening to me? She never went to a Bible study in her life until she got saved. And man, she went to everyone she could find. Because God changed her in her spirit and was working on the soul. Hallelujah. You see. And so, getting saved is like marriage. I mean, if you're married and there's no change, give me a break. You got somebody else to think about when you get married. Are you listening to me? You get married to Jesus, you got somebody else to think about. You see, that's what salvation is. We got too many lost people in church singing the songs, doing the stuff, and do not, they're dead in their spirit. It's time to wake up and smell heaven, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? After you get saved, my goodness, act like it. Get in the Word of God. Fall in love with Jesus. Get your soul renewed. Prepare for heaven and receive the benefits when he comes. Hallelujah. You see? Yes. Get filled with the joy of God. You see? And so, this is what it's about, you see. If you're not saved, your repentance wasn't complete. You just felt sorry because you got caught. That's what happened to Judas. Felt sorry because he got caught and went out and hung himself. That's what people do. They feel sorry they got caught and go right back into their sin and lets it destroy them. I have a news flash. God's not going to change. Guess who is? God's not going to change. So therefore, we have to change. And what's at stake here? I'll tell you what's at stake. Rewards and inheritance in heaven and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ forever. That's what's at stake. Because I'm going to tell you right now, somebody doesn't renew their mind in the Word of God is not going to get all those benefits. I'm sorry. That's what the Word of God says. For we have to change. We have to prepare for heaven. We have to get ready. We're in the get ready process. The marriage is going to be in heaven. We're engaged to God. It's permanent. It's a permanent contract with God. And now we're preparing. We're getting ready. Our life is changing. It's going to be a change when we get into heaven. If you renew your soul now, there won't be any change. You'll go right into heaven and feel right at home. Oh, this is my home. I'm glad I finally arrived. Hallelujah. That's the difference. Some people love this world so much that, they just don't want to give this world up. I got news. When I read about heaven, I'll give this thing up in 2 seconds. But it's not ready yet. I have things to do. We have things to do. Our mind needs to be renewed. We have to be interested in the Word of God. You see? And we have to be interested in the Bible. Now, listen to this very carefully. The way you think comes from two things. The way you think comes from words and images that come into your mind. That you're exposed to. Now listen, you need to get this. So, you know, if you are exposed to the Bible, your imagination is going to see the things of God. Your eyes are the gate of your soul. Your ears are the gate of your soul. What you hear and what you see comes onto your soul. Your soul is taking pictures constantly. It's called your imagination. That's the camera of your soul. And whatever you're looking at, wherever you're at, your soul is constantly taking pictures of those things. Taking pictures of those things. Taking pictures of those things. And then those things go into your heart and they go into your mind. And so your imagination is either taking pictures of the things of God or is taking pictures of the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you listening? Your mind is designed to constantly take in and think about what the imagination of your soul is taking pictures of. You see? Now, so the mind is kind of the pilot of the airplane. It guides where you're going to go. You see, and it guides your soul and your body. And so what you read, now listen to me, what you read, what you hear is going to control your mind. God put in us, in our soul, our mind and our imaginations. That's the software of your computer person. That's the software. And that software is only going to be able to do what you put into it. What you program into it. You're constantly, every single day, every day, waking time of your day, you are processing things in your mind and in your imagination. You're taking pictures. And that's why, now listen to me, that's why Satan wants to control the media. The music, the TV, the radio, the movies, the magazines, the books, the internet. Because what you take in and all of that media, your imagination is picturing in your mind, that's what you're going to think about, and that will control your life. You can be a Christian and take in pornography on the internet, and that's going to fill your mind, and that's going to direct your actions and not the things of God. That's the horribleness of sin. Sin can only kill, steal, and destroy your life. God came so that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. What are you going to choose? So what you read, what you hear, the ones you're around, that kind of thing, Satan wants to control your life. He does it through all kinds of things. There's such a thing as the devil's music. People laugh at that. But there is. If you go over to Africa, where they're around all the spiritual stuff all the time, they'll tell you what music draws the demons. They know what music draws the demons. I tell you, somebody drives up next to me and stops at a stoplight, and I mean the car's rocking and ba-boom, 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 ba. You know that deal. And the words are, I wouldn't even repeat the words. I pray for those folks. What are they putting in their mind? It's stuff of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you know, I'm not putting them down, and I'm not any better than they are. I did the same junk when I was a kid. If I hadn't got saved, I'd have gone to hell listening to that ba bum ba ba bum ba ba bum ba ba bum. Louder than anybody's ears are supposed to hear. But that's the deal. The devil wants to control the way you think. If he controls the way you think, he can control your life. Now, where does that say that in the scripture? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians. Oh my. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we've seen this time after time, but you need to understand this. This is what the Word of God says. This is what God wants us to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means opposed to God. Carnal means opposed to God. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, there it is, imaginations. There it is, right there. Everything in this life is designed for you to take a picture of it, to come into your mind, to control your actions, and it's either from God or the world, the flesh, and the devil. One or the other. There's no one tree or the other. You see, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, things that come into your imagination that are opposed to God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the way you win. Every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every day belongs to Him. Everything in the day, I want to be of Him as much as it can possibly be in this world, you see. And that's this whole thing. There used to be a guy wrote a book one time. He told Christians not to go to movies and a bunch of other stuff, and people laughed at him. You don't have to go to movies anymore today. I flipped on TV the other day. There was about 10 commercials. And half of them were women with very few clothes on. I'm talking about commercials. You don't have to watch a movie to see that stuff. Now, you say, what kind of business do married men have to do to watch that kind of junk? Are you listening to me? That's why everybody's running around on everybody. Are you listening to me? That's why people are going out and have affairs. Because devil controls these things that are flashing in your mind, and when you think about them, you end up doing them. You watch enough of the afternoon as the world squirms, and your life is going to be less than what God called you to be. I'm putting it mildly. Your life is going to be less than what God called you and created you to be. Those things are designed to bring your life to destruction by the enemy. You say that's strong? I've lived long enough to know that that's true. I really have. Yeah, this is going to be weird. Before I got saved, I got hooked on those afternoon soap operas. When I had my lunch hour, that's what I would watch while I was eating. How stupid can you get? I said before I got saved. You see, we're programmed. You say, well, I never did anything that dumb, but you go out and have an affair with somebody. Amen. Now, come on. Before we're saved, our mind is totally focused on everything of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's why when we get saved, then we have to change it, get our eyes off of us, onto the one that loves us, Jesus, and gave his life for us, and we'll begin to change. Hallelujah. You see, and that's the way it works. Now, Satan wants everybody to think that he doesn't exist. You tell some people about Satan, they laugh at you. I had a guy here one time, came on Wednesday night. He says, I'm leaving this church. I said, why? He said, all you ever talk about is the devil. He said, I don't believe there is one. Well, he was in the wrong church, I agree. So the issue, negative thoughts have to be defeated. Gossip has to be defeated. Lying has to be defeated. Selfishness has to be defeated, or you're not going to be what God called you to be. All the things you watch, the things you read, the things you take in, your conversation, all of these things frame what you think about. And what you think about, you will eventually do. People who do not renew their mind in God's word are going to experience Satan stealing their life. We think it's terrible, you know, we watch a movie or we watch something and somebody kidnaps somebody and just takes their life away from them. And we say, that's so awful. Folks, that's what we do when we don't renew our minds. We allow Satan to kidnap our life and bring us to destruction. That's exactly what happens. Now, you know what Satan does? He is something else. He gets you to do something, entices you to do something, and then he calls you names. Look what you did. You are worthless. You're not any good. You'll never amount to anything. That's the words of Satan, not God. So he shows up. How does Satan show up? Through the images in your mind, through the thinking of your mind, and so forth. God did something really interesting. There was a guy whose father was a worshiper of the new moon god. In fact, he was a priest in the temple of the worshiper and a worshiper of the moon god over in the Middle East. He had a son. His name was Abe. Oh, Abraham. I forgot I was going to tell you that. His name was Abraham. And one day, just by the absolute grace of God, in that devil-worshipping atmosphere, God spoke to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your mother and father. I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a place where I'll show you, because where you're at now, you cannot see the things of heaven. That's what he said to him. And so Abraham, after a few years, decided to do that. God wanted him to see a life from a different perspective. God wanted him to see what was available. And so he took him to a place which was out of all the limelight and the fancy things and Hollywood and all that stuff. And he took him out into a place, kind of a desert area. And he said, look up. And for the first time in his life, Abraham saw the stars. Amen. He said, I didn't know they were there. I never saw those in my life. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what God's telling you to do. Leave what you're in and come aside into the Word of God. And I'll show you the creation of God. I'll show you what God can do in your life. I'll show you what God created you to do. Come out from among all that stuff. Get in the Word of God and agree with the Spirit. And I'll show you things you never dreamed of before. Abraham didn't have an heir. He was going to have to give all of his millions to his servants. And because he was obedient to God, God said, I'm going to do something in your life you never thought was possible. Because at that time, Abraham was he was about 75. He said, you're going to have a child. His wife was about 65. And just to make sure that Abraham knew it was a miracle, God waited 25 more years. And to the age of 100, with Sarah at 90, they had a baby. His name was Isaac, meaning laughter. And I'm going to tell you something. God will bring laughter into your sad, sorry life.
Amen.
If you turn to Him. You haven't seen anything yet till you see God take a person that's been in the dirt and clean them up and make a man or a woman out of them that's after God's own heart. You see, I'm telling you this from experience. God will take you out of the average life and give you visions and dreams you never thought were possible if you renew your mind in the Word of God. I'm almost finished. I don't even know what time it is. It's time to finish. Just go through this quickly. The only people that change are the ones that daily, constantly, seriously take in the Word of God. They're the only ones that change. I've known Christians got saved 40 years ago and never changed one ounce. They say, oh, they're just looking to go to heaven. Man, I'd be putting the brakes on. I wouldn't want to face Jesus, knowing Him for 40 years and never changing. That'd be the saddest thing I could imagine. It really would. And so there is just no other way around. If there was, I would tell you. Listen, you can't eat of the tree of life on Sunday and eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, 6 days a week and expect to change. It's not going to happen. I didn't hear one amen. It is not going to happen. And I'll tell you this, I'd be afraid to stand before Jesus with that kind of an attitude. Well, Jesus, I went to church on Sunday morning. Big deal. Probably the angels up there, so they probably got a song called Big Deal. The Holy Spirit is limited in your life according to what your mind is thinking on a daily basis. I don't know how many times I can say it, how well I can say it, but that's true. And so we got to set our mind on the Word of God and do it. We got to line up to start thinking like God does in a world that's running the other way as fast as it can run. But I'm telling you, we have to be different. In the face of the storm, we have to claim Jesus Christ is Lord. You see. And that's the answer. So, just cut through a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I got a field to find my house, and the farmer back there, in the last few years, he's planted corn, he's planted all kinds of stuff. This year he didn't plant anything. Called letting the land lay fallow. And you know something? He didn't plan a thing, but that thing is full of weeds this high. If you don't do anything with your life, it'll automatically be full of weeds. You don't have to do anything. They'll automatically come up. All this negative stuff will grow in your life and clog up your mind and probably shorten your life because you didn't clear the land. You didn't plant the things of God. And it's almost too late. You'll be on your deathbed, and instead of saying, "Save me, Jesus," you'll be crying, saying, "I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. And it's gone." Let's stand before the Lord.